As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Portzen with you on an overcast Wednesday in Columbus. It's going to be overcast for a while. I maybe don't even need to say overcast. We should probably just get used to that. Blue Jackets are in sunny Glendale, Arizona. They're getting ready to practice right now. I'm in Columbus heading out that way to meet them as soon as this podcast is over. We have a special guest with us today, former Blue Jackets forward Derek Dorsett, who went on to play for the New York Rangers, the Vancouver Canucks, retired in 2018 and because of a neck injury. One of the, I think you can safely say, fiercest competitors, more fearless competitors we've seen in Columbus, certainly a crowd favorite. It'll be an interesting chat because he's got a lot going on. Now a development coach with the Blue Jackets, which, as you know, is a very important role in this club. So much of the energy of this organization right now is focused on young players and prospects with the hope of a brighter future. We'll get into all kinds of stuff with Derek Dorsett, so look forward to that interview. A couple of news and notes with the Blue Jackets. Dorsett's boss, actually, now, Rick Nash, who is the Blue Jackets' director of player development, he will have his number retired, number 61, going up into the rafters. It'll happen on March 5th, 2022, when the Blue Jackets host the Boston Bruins in Nationwide. After basically writing the Blue Jackets record book, I do think it's fitting. If anyone's number is going up in Nationwide, it probably should be Rick Nash's number first. Interesting, I think maybe a couple of years ago, maybe there would have been a mixed bag of reaction to the number being retired. But I do think the time heals all wounds. I think people, Blue Jackets fans, even the most ardent, would look back on that time when Nash left the organization, requested a trade, and probably, I don't want to speak for them, but I get the sense from people that they don't quite have the same issues with Nash that they did at the time. Feelings were so raw then. Nash went on, of course, to have a great career with the New York Rangers, finished his career with the Boston Bruins, would have played again with the Blue Jackets, had some post-concussion issues, decided, I think wisely so, most people would agree that his playing days should be over. And so he's now been working with the organization for a couple of years and has found his way, really excited by player development. So that's a big deal. That certainly gives everyone here in Columbus something to look forward to in the springtime. March 5 versus Boston. You can see it now, can you not? The ceremonial face-off. Boone Jenner, one side, Nick Foligno on the other side. I bet Boston reads the play and sends Nick Foligno up to take the ceremonial puck drop. Rick Nash between them. You've got the last three Blue Jackets captains, last decade plus of captains in one frame. That picture will be hanging in basements and dens all over Central Ohio. You better believe it. A couple other news and notes. The last time we saw the Blue Jackets, Monday, they came from behind yet again, this time to beat the Red Wings 5-3 in Nationwide. Fifth time this season that the Blue Jackets have trailed into the third period and won a game. That is a rarity, and this team seems to have a knack for it. I think they'd rather not have a knack for it. I think they'd rather, you know, do things maybe a little more conventionally, but you got to take them however you can get them. Huge goal in that game by Yegor Chinnikov, the first of his NHL career, and it was perfectly timed. Ties it up late in the third period. Zach Werenski puts the Blue Jackets ahead a little more than a minute to go, and Texier caps it off with an empty net goal. That was a big win for the Blue Jackets. And, you know, you never want to put too much on one game this early in the season, but after losing two games over the weekend to the Capitals Friday and the Rangers on Saturday, the Capitals loss was tough. The Rangers, they clearly deserve to lose that game. No problem with that. But if they come out of that whole 3-4 set with 0 points, which may have happened if Chinnikov doesn't score, you're looking at a team you're not quite sure where it's going, maybe. Now they're feeling pretty good about themselves as they head out on a 3-game road trip. Starts in Arizona on Thursday, then to Vegas on Saturday, finishes up in Buffalo. That's a weird road trip. And they'll be in Buffalo on Monday, then back in Columbus after that. Other notes, Max Domi is expected to travel with the team to Arizona, but no word yet on his availability Thursday. Of course, he's recovering from COVID-19. It hits everybody differently. They're not quite sure. I think they want to see him in some hard practices before they see what his lung capacity is and just how strong he is after fighting his way through that. Another note, prospect forward Trey Fix-Wolanski, who had knee surgery last year, has been activated from injured reserve and sent to AHL Cleveland and should be back to playing soon, which is really, really good news for him. Another neat tidbit, we have a story up on the site right now, Justin Danforth. This is the kind of guy you root for. 28 years old, made his NHL debut on Monday. This kid spent more time in the East Coast League than the American Hockey League before he went to Europe. Usually those guys are lucky to stay in Europe, that career trajectory. But he went to Europe and found his game more than he ever had before. 2 years in Finland, 1 year in Russia, and it signs with the Blue Jackets and made his NHL debut at 28 years old. The third oldest Blue Jacket player to debut. And the other two, Frederick Norena, the goaltender, is 32 years old. Gregory Hoffman, same age, but just 100 days older or so, debuted earlier this season after a long career in Switzerland. So one of the things that's really cool about this season, I certainly feel this way. I'm guessing many of the people listening do. You're not really sure where this is going to go. I think the Blue Jackets have played very, very well, probably better than most expected them to play. It's still a long season. Where is this going to go from here? But there are some things, no matter really where the wins and losses end up. I think if you're a Blue Jackets fan, you look at the way Cole Sillinger plays. You look at the way Chinnikov, these guys are playing on the top line right now with Jake Voracek, that they're able to play in that role and not get eaten alive is amazing for an 18 and a 20-year-old on the same line. You're looking at bright spots in different places in different ways, because I do think fans are wise enough to have one eye on the present. You want to see great hockey, and I think it's been super energetic hockey, but you also have to keep one eye on the future, the way that this organization is building things. And I don't think you can do anything but smile when you look at the future with, again, Sillinger, Chinnikov, some of these. Boakvist is a young guy. Bean is a young guy. This is a really young team, and they've got another wave of prospects coming. Marchenko, Voronkov, Kent Johnson. It's been really, really interesting, and I think there's been maybe a fresh breath of air pumped into this marketplace with the way things have gone so far. So we'll see how they can keep it up. Let's get to our conversation with Derek Dorsett. And I think you'll find this is interesting. Dorsett's always been one of the more intense and competitive people. We've got a lot of topics to talk to him about. So let's get to it. Let's hear from Derek Dorsett. All right, joined now by Derek Dorsett. Doris, first of all, great to hear from you. Thanks for being with us. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So your job, development coach with the Blue Jackets, eye toward the future for sure. But I've got to ask you what you think about this current Blue Jackets team and the way they're playing early on. 8-5, heading out on a road trip to Arizona, Vegas, Buffalo. What do you see when you see this current iteration of the Blue Jackets take the ice and perform?
I think it's a team that's working really hard and working together. It looks like they're having fun and looks like everyone's pushing in the same direction. And, I believed before I was even hired that there would be a better team than what maybe some of the reporters and, you know, the rankings were showing. And I think, you know, obviously the new coaching staff's done a great job. Lars has been, you know, I think he's, you know, got the players, committed and, you know, they're playing hard for him. And it looks like the players are having a lot of fun.
Yeah. There's a spirit about the group, isn't there?
Yeah. There's a good mix of some veteran guys and then, you know, some young, really talented guys that, you have that young energy and, like I said, it just looks like they're having fun and they're playing for each other and they're playing hard.
Yeah. Now some of the performances are being driven by young players. Cole Sillinger's 18. How sustainable is this? Jake Bean's playing on the top defensive pair. The games get cranked up as the season moves along. When you look at them playing, you see that the way that we're talking about the energy that they played with. Is this sustainable over 82? Do you think they can keep this up? Is this reasonable?
Well, I think we got two really good goaltenders right now. So, I mean, you're getting good goaltending and you know, we all know that, you know, if you got good goaltending, you got a chance to win every night. And, you know, there's some young guys that are playing extremely well, but you know, you don't, you know, for example, like a Cole Sillinger, he doesn't seem phased to when he goes out and plays against top lines, Nathan MacKinnon, and right. You know, he almost goes at them, you know, where it's like, you know, sometimes you would think, you know, a young 18-year-old would be kind of, you know, not necessarily starstruck, but, you know, kind of respectful or whatnot. But he, you know, the times he does have a bad shift, he comes back with three great shifts, you know, or if he has a bad game, he bounces back and is the best player on the ice the next night. Same with Chinnikov. Like he just looks like a pro and makes good plays and is consistent. Doesn't, you know, I was talking with a friend, like I haven't really seen Chinnikov make too many mistakes.
Yes.
You know, and you know, he's not careless with the puck. He plays hard. He's smart. And, you know, I think, you know, everyone raves about his shot because his shot is unbelievable, but you know, he makes these small little, those 4-foot passes and pressure and tight and, you know, when he's getting pressured and, you know, so these guys, they aren't fazed by the speed of it. And, you know, obviously it's a different schedule and it's a different travel, but, you know, those guys are Cole Sillinger's built, you know, he's built like a pro. He's mature. He's got mature bodies, you know, same with Chinnikov. You know, he played pro last year. So, you know, why can't they keep going? You know, when the people are like, oh, they can't sustain it because they're young. Well, why not? You know, why? Right. Or, you know, what's stopping them? And sometimes, you know, when expectations aren't as high, that's when guys will keep thriving, you know? You know, it's not just only those guys. I mean, I think Texier looks really, really good. I think he looks comfortable. I think, you know, he's playing good on both sides of the puck. And, there's been a lot of guys that, you know, like I said, everyone's just playing together, having fun, and, you know, they're happy for each other when these guys score, and it's just a good environment right now, from my view.
Yeah. Well, if I remember correctly, Doris, there's literally nothing that motivated you more. Maybe you heard it a lot. There's nothing that motivated you more than someone telling you can't do it or you wouldn't be able to do it. Is that
I mean, it's the best thing. It's almost like, you know, look at it in the opposite way. It's like when you're fired up and you're mad and someone tells you to relax. Do you ever relax?
Right. It just never works.
It just, you know, it's kind of, you know, so, I mean, the people, you know, had doubt, and, you know, I just think, you know, Boone's a great leader, and, you know, I think that, you know, Zach's, you know, playing well, and you got a different atmosphere, and sometimes change is good. And, you know, I think Lars and, you know, but the coaching staff has done an awesome job from my view. I'm not around the big club, you know, all the time, but, you know, I obviously pay very close attention to it and watch all the games, and it's exciting, you know, and there's a lot of good talent coming. I can tell you that.
Yeah. It's your area of expertise for sure. How does this work with player development? So tell me, is there a typical day in player development? Or is each day sort of its own new animal? And how does someone help develop players, get them to the NHL faster and more ready to play?
I think it's kind of, you know, mentorship, you know, that, you know, talking with the kids, building the relationship, you know, making sure that they know that, you know, they're important pieces to the puzzle, and, you know, helping them in any way possible, whether it's on ice or off ice. And, you know, typical day would be, you know, I watch, you know, a lot of the games, you know, with through a website called Instat. You can pin it down to just, you know, defensive zone, or, you know, just the player's shifts, and, you know, I communicate with the players and, you know, ask them how they're feeling and make sure that they're, you know, feeling the same way that we see that they're doing, you know, going out and watching them live, getting those live views to see if, you know, it's always what I've found so far. Obviously I'm new into it, but it's a lot easier to get the sense of the game when you're there live than on camera. But, you know, just kind of, you know, letting the kids know that they can be important pieces, and, you know, make them feel like they're already a Blue Jacket, that we want to help them get, you know, we're all working towards the same goal, right? That's to win, and, you know, whatever we can do to help them and share experiences, you know, from when I played, or, you know, other just situations, you know, and just life things, and making sure that they're comfortable and confident, and instilling those confidence so that they're ready to go when they get their opportunity.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So there's a large pool of prospects that the Blue Jackets have, and you've got guys in Europe working with the prospects over there. So you guys focus on the North American guys mostly. Is that correct?
Yeah. So yeah, we got a great development team, obviously headed up by Rick, and then Jarkko Ruotsi's over in Europe, and I'm kind of looking after, you know, the CHL guys. Then we got, you know, Craig Hartsburg, who, you know, with some of the defensive guys, and, you know, we got all sorts of resources that we can bounce, you know, things off of if we're unsure, and different types of players and different positioned players, and, you know, people that are really, you know, good at in those areas, and we can, you know, all just collaborate and talk and figure a plan to try and, you know, make, you know, the guys that we draft and or sign and make them NHL hockey players.
Yeah. So do you have certain assigned players that you deal with directly, or is everybody kind of in on everybody?
Yeah, no. It's kind of like Rick's kind of, and Clarky's still looking after a few guys, and yeah. It's kind of a team effort. But you know, I'm looking after like really closely with the guys that are in the Western Hockey League, and then James Malatesta in the Quebec League, Ben Boyd in the Quebec League, Martin Reichstavi's in Moose Jaw, Stan Svozil's in Regina, Ole Ohms in Mississauga, and you know, Nasher will see a lot of them. And then, you know, Nasher looks, you know, pretty closely at the NCAA guys. I cross over and watch some of their games, and he does the same the other way. So, you know, obviously we all know what each guys are doing. We have, you know, we just had a meeting on all of our guys with the development team and how things are going and where guys are, you know, way guys are trending and things that they need to work on and things like that. So it's a group effort, but yeah, no, I'm pretty focused on, you know, the four guys that are in the Canadian Hockey League right now, five guys with Ole, and Nasher look watches Ole too. So, yeah, so no, it's a group effort for sure.
Yeah. So do you want these guys to know when you're in the building, or do you want to be there and then meet with them afterwards? You know what I'm saying?
Sometimes, you know, sometimes we'll let them know we're coming. Sometimes we won't. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you want to see how they are playing when, you know, so, but, you know, I think, yeah, it's a mix. I think you want to see the way they play with when they know, they know you're there.
Yeah.
You know, does it look like they get a little more pressure? Do you want to see when they're not there, or when they don't think you're there? Yeah. So it's a mix, and you know, I haven't figured out what the recipe is. Obviously I'm pretty new to it, but you know, I pick Clarky's brain and Yarko and whatnot. So, but the thing with it is we're always watching. Like, that's the one thing that I've realized is, you know, I'm always checking the scores every day. It's like, who's playing tonight, and checking the scores, and then watching shifts, or, you know, if I'm not at a game, I'm probably usually got it on CHL Network or, you know, watching. So we're always watching them and going back a couple of days and watching a game that maybe we missed, and just to, you know, keep tabs on them and make sure everything's going in the right direction. And, you know, a big part of it is, you know, talking with their coaches. Obviously, you know, the teams that they're at play a different system, so it's not as much systematic stuff. It's more, you know, physical and, you know, skill-wise, small little things, and helping them, giving them tips that they can use in their system, because at the end of the day, they got to try and win for their team that they're on. But same time, we want to make sure that they're developing in the right pattern, right?
Yeah. Is there ever any pushback from coaches on this? They like having NHL guys around for sure.
I've had zero pushback or issues with it. You know, I don't know, you know, I haven't heard any other way, but you know, obviously if I was going in and telling a kid that he needs to blow the zone and that's not how they do their defensive zone coverage, I mean, a coach might give me a call and be like, hey, why are you telling this guy to blow the zone? That's not how we play. But I make it very clear when I introduce myself to the coaches and talk to the coaches that I'll never talk systematic, and I'll never talk about the way the kid should play within your system.
Cool.
But, you know, and I always tell the coaches too, like, hey, listen, like, give me feedback. I usually let the coaches know when I'm going to, you know, take them for lunch or meet with them. And, you know, is there anything that, you know, you guys are seeing that you want me to reiterate, or, you know, so just that relationship with the coaches, and, you know, they want the best for the kids too. Right. And they also want the best for their team to win, and not, you know, I want the kids' team to win too. You want to learn how to be a winner.
Sure. Right?
So it's an effort, and you know, I talk with the coaches and agents, and yeah, but I've had no bad bad relationships at all.
Dorsey had almost 600 penalty minutes in three junior seasons in the Western Hockey League, the Medicine Hat Tigers. I'm guessing you were a hated man in some of these glorious barns out west. What's it like walking into these places now that you once lit up back in the day?
Yeah, no, it's definitely different. I used to, and some of the scouts that are, you know, still scouting out there, they always, you know, have a story about what I did in one of the games. Right. But, you know, it brings back memories, and it's been, you know, I obviously stepped away from the game for a while, but, you know, being back, it's been awesome. You know, it's been great going back into those rinks and seeing familiar faces. Some people don't recognize me and I don't expect them to and whatnot, but you know, you see the, you know, Zamboni guy and it's like, oh yeah, he was there when I was there. And
you know, tripped me back in the day.
Yeah. So, but no, it's all fun and games.
Yeah. That's awesome. So your boss, Rick Nash, does not listen to this podcast, so you can rip him if you want.
Yeah.
What's it like working for Rick Nash? You were teammates with him in Columbus, New York. You know him well as a player and a person, a teammate and a person. What's it like now with Rick Nash, taking directions from Rick Nash as a boss?
No, it's great. I mean, obviously Rick is, you know, we've been friends for a long time. And you know, like you said, we played a lot of years together. I mean, I went to New York, you know, 4 months or 3 months, whatever it was after he started his season there. Sure. So my first 6 years, I guess, 7 years, 6 years, something like that. We were together in the NHL and, you know, there's some good times and some bad times. And, you know, obviously, you know, our kids are all the same age. It's actually kind of crazy. Like, I think his oldest kid is 2 months older than mine.
Is that right?
And then our middle kids are 2 weeks apart. And then our youngest are like 3 or 4 days apart, something like that. So we, you know, obviously kids, they're good friends. And so we see each other a lot. And, you know, we both kind of retired at the exact same time. So, yeah. and didn't live too far from each other. So, obviously we have that relationship and, you know, I know what type of person he is and, you know, he's detailed, he's focused, works hard. So, it's been a great experience and, you know, I'm just trying to soak in as much information as I can. Obviously, you know, it's my first year and, you know, there's a lot to learn on this side of it. And, it's been a lot of fun. That's for sure.
Yeah. So you would have been around on his way out of town. As you say, he left a little while before you did. How difficult was it to see it end like that, or at least at that point go down like that? And how pleased are you to see it kind of come around to full circle? Of course, everybody knows the jerseys being, the numbers being retired, number 61's going into the rafters next spring. Just tell me what that's like, because you know him well, how personally he may have taken some of the stuff. What was it like for you to witness, and how pleased are you to see it come around like this?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, you know, I understand it's a business, right? On both sides of it, as a player and as an organization, and you know, I don't think it was as big a deal as it was possibly made out to be. Obviously, you know, I think Rick is such a professional. Like, I think he, you know, he's a reserved person, a quiet person, and you know, he goes about his business and he, like I said earlier, he works hard at everything he does and he's committed. And you know, I think I realized when I got to New York how passionate and, about, you know, the city of Columbus and the Blue Jackets organization as he was. And I think obviously, you know, I think it weighed on him. He maybe didn't show it as much at the time or ever does. He doesn't, you know. So it was very special to see last week when, you know, they announced the jersey retirement. You know, that's one of the first times I've seen him kind of get choked up like that. And you know, so it was a great experience. And I think, you know, it's deserved. You know, you look at what he's done for the community in minor hockey and just everything. He's a guy that did a lot more than people ever know, you know, and that's what I admire about him, that, you know, he gives back, he looks after his friends, he looks after his family, you know, he's a guy that and isn't flashy about it. And that's what, you know, he's just a great true pro. And I think, you know, it's just a great honor that he gets to have his jersey up in the rafters. That's for sure.
Yeah. It'd be neat to see. Dorsey, you coached for a time in Upper Arlington. You coached last year for a bit in Medicine Hat, assistant coach with your old coach, Willie Desjardins. What was that experience like, and how much did you love coaching? Is it something you think you may want to return to someday?
I never say never. And, you know, starting at the start of the question, you know, I was asked to kind of help out with the UA program whenever I could. And when I started doing it, it lit the fire back in me. You know, obviously my career ended, you know, shorter than what I had hoped. I still had time left on my contract. You know, I felt I was playing some of my best hockey when it all kind of unraveled on me. But, you know, so at the time, you know, I stepped away from the game. I when I was a player, I always knew I wanted to get into hockey after. And, you know, I said it to the high school kids last year. We went to the, you know, I was assistant coach. And, you know, I said to them at the end of it when we lost in the Final Four that, you know, this brought the fire back in me to and showed me that I wanted to be involved in hockey in some capacity. And,
that's awesome.
You know, so I think the kids, you know, it wasn't easy. You know, I thought I was a player that, when I retired, I you know, had other interests in like real estate and businesses. My family's very entrepreneurial, and but it wasn't easy. I mean, it was probably the hardest time of my life. And then, you know, we had my mother-in-law passed on us suddenly the night before Thanksgiving. You know, and then, you know, about a year and a half later after that, my wife got diagnosed with cardiomyopathy. And, you know, so it was a hard couple of years, and it was time for me to be there with the family. And, you know, coaching UA brought that fire back in me to be involved in the sport. And I had a couple of friends that always told me that I was doing a disservice, not being in the game and coaching kids and whatnot. So I always thought there's a chance I'd get back into it, but, you know, it just wasn't the right time. And I had other opportunities in the Western Hockey League for coaching jobs and stuff. But, you know, obviously with my wife's health and, you know, the condition she had, just at the time it wasn't right. And you know, this opportunity came along and, you know, I've enjoyed every minute of it. I love being back with the Blue Jackets. I live right down the road. I'm passionate about the Blue Jackets. I'm passionate about sports in this community, minor sports. I still do help out with UA hockey when I can. So I go to quite a few of the practices and still help out there. And I actually help out the AAA program with Toots, Federer Tootin, mm-hmm. When I can get out there. So. You know, I just love being around and helping, and to do it at the pro level has been awesome. And I don't know if we will coach again. And you know, obviously when I went to Medicine Hat, it was an opportunity that it was a shortened season, and our season with the UA had kind of just ended. So I was like, you know, this is an opportunity that I can see what it's like to coach in the major juniors and almost like the pros. And Willie opened up the doors, and I think I was there for the 22 games. I think it was there 20 games, and I think we played 23 or something like that. So something like that. And it was just a lot of fun. I loved it. I love coaching. But I love what I'm doing right now too, helping kids, mentoring kids to try and, you know, that's the one thing I try and express to the kids when I talk to them is, you know, you put in the time, you the commitment in the summer and whatnot. And I promise you, it'll be well worth it. I got to live it, right? I don't know what the future holds, but you know, I love what I'm doing right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, George, you had let's be honest, most people would kill for your career. 515 games. You played five seasons with the Blue Jackets, parts of five seasons with the Blue Jackets, who drafted you in 06. You got a chance to play in a city like Columbus that loved you. You were a fan favorite for sure. You also had an opportunity to play in the biggest market, New York, with the Rangers, Madison Square Garden. And you got to play in a Canadian market. You got to taste a lot of the NHL experience in a lot of different ways. How do you look back? I know that your career ended before you wanted it to. How do you look back on it now? And how are you doing health-wise, which is such an important question for everybody who plays this game and sacrifices their body to play this game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, three great cities, three great organizations, three great ownerships that, and all different, you know, all different in their own ways. And, you know, obviously, Columbus being one of the smaller markets and the newer market to hockey, which is awesome. You know, like, I mean, that I came to the playoff. I came to playoff games when I was, after I was done playing, and awesome. I mean, the rink is unbelievable. Like, yeah. I mean, I've played in series in Boston. I've played in series in Montreal, in the Eastern Conference Final. I've played in Chicago. I mean, this rink is the loudest rink. Like, I mean, I've been to Rexall back in the heyday when the Oilers were, you know, when they went to the finals against Carolina as a fan. And the atmosphere, they stand the entire game and just chant and scream. And like, I mean, the atmosphere is next. I mean, it's off the charts. And New York, I mean, obviously playing in Original Six and Madison Square Garden, the most famous arena in the world. Right. I mean, you know, getting to play in it before the renovation and then getting to play in it after the renovation was awesome. And just the way, you know, that organization, I mean, the organization was just awesome, the way they treated the families and every organization I've been to, but you know, car service for your parents when they're, you know, flying into the airport. And,
right. Like, come on. Right.
You know, like I'm from Kinnersey, Saskatchewan, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
You know, right. If we had to, we'd take horse and buggy.
Yeah. The car service means they show up with like a rickshaw or something. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but so, you know, and then obviously, you know, childhood dream getting to play in Canada. And in my opinion, probably the nicest city in Canada, you know, Vancouver.
Yeah. Great city.
Lived on the seawall down by the Olympic torches. And
come on.
It was just unbelievable. So, I mean, you know, I couldn't have drawn it up better. There's times I pinch myself now that, you know, it's like, wow, you know, and at times too, it, you know, through the time when I, you know, the last few years and, you know, it's like, oh, geez, I wish I could still be playing, you know, like, but you know, it is what it is. I played 515 games. I bet you, you know, no one thought I was going to do that. You know, I seen my old Ross Yates and when I was in Quebec City, he kind of joked. He said, you know, I when I had you in Syracuse, I looked at it and was like, who drafted this guy? This guy's never, you know, right. Like, you know, but you know, I found a way and, it was a ton of fun and I would do it over again, probably even harder. I mean, I wish now that I'm on the other side, I see the way that, you know, management and everyone thinks and, you know, you'd learn along the way, like, oh shit, if I would have committed a little bit more here or there, it's like, maybe I could have, you know, done this or done that, but you know, I don't have any regrets, on the health front. Yeah. I mean, I have my sore days. I have, you know, the back spasms and my shoulders hurt, things like that. But, you know, I probably still need one shoulder surgery that I've kind of just delayed because it's a 6-month recovery and it's 3 months in a sling. And I just, you know, my stubbornness, I'd rather just maybe, you know, I just don't want to go through the and that's the one thing that, you know, towards the end, like, you know, I see, you know, some athletes retiring young and, you know, say like an Andrew Luck, it's like, you know, I know what he went through, you know, like I had a neck surgery, you know, and there's so many ups and downs the next 8 months of that recovery. Like, I mean, I can't tell you, like, tears with talking with trainers, you know, three days of great strength training, and then all of a sudden waking up and being locked again. And it's like, just, you know, like the ups and downs, the emotion, the pain. And then, you know, coming back and playing some of my best hockey score. You know, I think I had 7 goals in 20 games. And
you did.
You know, something like, you know, I saw, like, you know, just playing 17, 18 minutes a night, you know, it was, and then, you know, waking up in Philadelphia, not being able to pick my head up off the pillow, thinking I was paralyzed, you know, there's just moments where, you know, you kind of, the emotional toll that it took on, it just finally was at peace that it was easy. It was done, you know? Body can't handle it anymore. So, you know, but no, I would do it all over again if I could.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Those are great memories. Well, this is awesome. Doris, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah.
It's been great chatting with you. Yeah. Hope to see you around, although I'll probably have to go to Moose Jaw or some exotic locale to track you down, man, because you're everywhere.
Yeah, I got a 10-day trip coming up here. Going.
There you go. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, man. We'll talk to you down the line.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, thanks for Derek Dorsett for being with us. Really interesting interview. Great guy. Appreciate his time for sure. Thanks to you all for listening. And we'll be with you next week. Thanks to Danielle Lehman, our producer. Thanks to David Cook for the great intro music. We'll talk to you next week on Front and Nationwide. Talk to you later.